First Timothy chapter 4. Ladies are playing the instruments like there's a full house tonight. I appreciate that very, very much. First Timothy chapter 4. And I'm going to just ask the Lord's blessing on the lesson. Does anybody need a prayer list / handout? You didn't get a prayer list, which means you don't have a handout. Right back here, Mrs. Howard, fellas, if Brother Gene, can you get Ms. Howard or Frank can? Somebody can get her a prayer list right behind you there, Frank. All right, very good. Anybody else? All service tonight? That's wonderful. Heavenly Father, please speak to our hearts this evening. Teach us from your word. And to thank you for the all-important matter of doctrine. So help us, God, to have an appreciation for it. Treat it right. In Jesus' name I pray, and amen. So 2 weeks ago, we started on this all-important subject of doctrine as it pertains to Jesus' church. And the scripture gives several commands. We talked about last 2 weeks ago, we talked about people falling away by turning their ears away from and not wanting to hear doctrine and instead wanting to be entertained. And tonight, we're going to talk about several commands concerning doctrine for the Christian, for the church member. And to be sure, you know, some of these are directly given to pastors. You found them in 1st and 2nd Timothy and Titus. But the application of all of them can be made for Christians in general. All right. So what's good concerning doctrine for a pastor is good concerning doctrine for anybody. All right. So we're going to look at some of those things tonight. Number one on your sheet is give attention to doctrine. Give attention to doctrine. You see this in chapter 4, verse number 13, where Paul said to Timothy, till I come. Now, the word used is attendance. Till I come, give attendance to reading. And I think specifically there, he's talking about the word of God. To exhortation, that's preaching. And then to doctrine. Look down at verse number 16. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. So he says, Timothy, I want you to give attendance. Give your attention to doctrine. Number two, the word attendance simply means attention. It means to turn the mind to be attentive. We might use the word focus. Hey, pay attention, something like that, okay? So the words in verse 16, take heed, they mean pay attention. And the word doctrine, of course, means teaching or instruction. So you put it all together, and Paul's instruction to Timothy was to turn his mind to pay attention to the teaching and instruction of the Word of God. And he told Timothy, you do that till I come, because he's planning on making a trip there. And he says, you give attention to doctrine. You turn your mind to, you take heed to doctrine. Number three, I'm going to say, first of all, that doctrine is something all of us should pay attention to as we learn the Word of God. Number three, we should turn our minds to the teaching and instruction of the Word of God. This coming Sunday in Sunday school, we finished the series on Closer. And so this coming Sunday, the teenage and elementary class, the teenage and adult classes will be studying 2 Peter chapter 1, the first, I think, maybe 10 verses of 2 Peter chapter number 1. The elementary kids are going to continue to learn about the life of Joseph. Now, the truth of the matter is, the teachers need to study and the teachers need to work and prepare a good lesson and be ready for their classes. And I believe that they will. And teacher, I don't sit in the classes, so I don't know. But in teachers' meeting, I stress this over and over and over and over again. The teachers that are here tonight know that, okay? So study, be ready, prepare. I believe they will. I believe they do. But I'm going to say this tonight. There's just as much responsibility placed on the students in the classes as is placed on the teachers. As the teachers are teaching about 2 Peter chapter 1 or the life of Joseph, every student, regardless of age, should be turning their minds to the teaching, paying attention, staying focused, okay, giving attendance, giving attention to the teaching and the instruction of God's Word. People, you know this truth. It is easy to sit in class. It's easy to sit in the preaching service and turn your mind to something other than what is being taught. So easy to turn your mind. So easy for your mind. Have you ever caught yourself, you know, sitting in a class or in a preaching service and you realize that your mind was miles away? In fact, you've kind of even lost track of what's been said the last 3 or 4 minutes from the pulpit because your mind was turned to something else. And I'm not chiding you tonight. I'm just talking real to you. Okay, it happens. And we live in an entertainment day and age. We live in the digital age. If it's not jumping, flashing, you know, yelling, screaming, turning colors, people's concentration span is pathetic. Pathetic. But so we have to do what Paul says here. We have to pay attention. We have to turn our minds to the teaching and instruction of the Word of God. Number four, it doesn't take any effort to allow our minds to wander. Doesn't take any effort to allow our minds to wander. It takes effort to keep focused and pay attention. Wandering is the default. That's your default mode. Mind wandering here and there, okay? Paying attention is the on-purpose mode, all right? So it takes effort to keep focused and pay attention. And, you know, this is on my mind often because, I've said before, you would be surprised at the lack of attention that's sometimes paid in this auditorium. You'd be surprised during preaching services. And it's not that I think I'm such a captivating preacher. I can't believe you're not paying attention. That's not it. I'm just talking about that's the default mode. The default mode is to let your mind wander. And, you know, I'll look out. People are looking across the room. I have no idea what they're looking at. Looking across the room. Ladies are doing their fingernails. People are dozing. People looking at their phones. Yeah, I know people look at their phones. You're not fooling me. Your head's, you know, head down like this for, and you know, and that should, I'm not so sure that's this crowd that's here tonight, maybe on Sunday morning, but just not turning their minds to doctrine. They're not paying attention. They're not focused. They're not turning their minds. And this is on us. Okay. This is what we're supposed to do. Number five on your sheet. Here's the sad thing. The things that we are allowing our minds to wander about probably will not change our lives. That thing you're concerned about, you know, at work tomorrow is probably not going to change your life for Christ. Or the thing that's going on back home or whatever, or the colored dress that she's wearing, or how long your fingernails are, if they need to be filed, file them at home. That's a good place to file fingernails or paint them, whatever you do. Or take it off. Well, not the fingernail, but the polish or whatever. So, I mean, there's good places to do that stuff. Just not in church. You know, and I know, you know, no mortal man standing up in the pulpit, you know, is going to equal that of being Jesus Christ. But can you imagine a people gathered around Christ and, you know, looking out at the ocean, looking out at the Sea of Galilee, see how many boats they can count while Jesus is, I just don't imagine that happening, okay? So we have to pay attention. This is our responsibility to doctrine. Okay? This is our responsibility to doctrine. So give attention to it. That's what Paul is saying. Pay attention to doctrine. Then number two, which is number six on your sheet here, he said to continue in doctrine. To continue in doctrine. And that's verse number 16. Look down there again, chapter 4. Take heed unto thyself. Now, you know, I've used this verse before because we've all been taught about the little word joy, the acronym. If you want to have joy in life, Jesus first, others second, yourself last. But here Paul says to Timothy, take heed to yourself. Now, wait a minute. Isn't that backwards? You're not supposed to do that. Well, in this case, we are. He qualifies it. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Pay attention to your spirit, to your attitude, toward your focus when it comes to doctrine. And then he says, continue in them. Continue in them. So after he told Timothy to pay attention to doctrine, Paul said, Timothy, continue in doctrine. Number seven. So after we learn doctrine, guess what we should do with it? Put it into practice. How else are you going to continue in it? That is the only way to continue in doctrine. In fact, the word continue means to put into action. You see, God covers all the bases with us. He tells us to be doers of the word and not hearers only. Number eight, he tells us to pay attention to doctrine and to put it into practice. So pay attention to it, focus, concentrate, learn it, and then when you leave, take it home with you, engage it, embrace it, put it to work in your life, which, by the way, folks, over and over again, we've tried to say that's the only way the Word of God ever really ends up making a difference in our lives, when we put it into action. Okay? Continue in it. Now, the teaching and instruction from the Word of God will put us on a course of blessing. Set us on a course of blessing. Obedience is the key to blessing. Paying attention and putting into action are both necessary for doctrine to have an impact on us and in our lives. And then I want you to look at the last part of the verse. Look at what he says. For in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. So I'm going to explain that, but look at number 9 on your sheet. The result of continuing in doctrine is we will salvage our testimony and our influence. The result of continuing in doctrine is we will salvage our testimony and our influence. Now, I've used this verse for us before, but we forget, you know, we overlook things. So he says in verse 16, take heed to yourself and unto the doctrine. Pay attention to it. Okay, focus on it. And continue in that doctrine. And if you'll do this, thou shalt both save thyself. Now, time out. He can't be talking about salvation in the sense of going to heaven instead of going to hell. Because nobody can save themselves. Okay, there's too many Bible verses. You know, this is where somebody can take a line out of a verse and build a false doctrine on it. But you don't do that. You build a doctrine on the entire basis of the Word of God. Okay, we know that salvation is by grace through faith, not of works. So when he uses the word save here, he's talking about salvaging. Salvaging. You'll shipwreck in your Christian life if you don't learn doctrine, pay attention to it, and continue in it. You'll shipwreck. And you know who suffers? Well, for Timothy, it was them that heard him. Who were the ones Paul was referring to when he said, them that hear thee? His church. Timothy was pastoring a church, preaching at the church at Ephesus. So he said, Timothy, you pay attention to, you take heed to yourself, and you focus and you concentrate and you learn doctrine and you put your mind to it and then you continue in it, take it home and practice it. And if you'll do that on a regular basis, you'll salvage your own testimony and you'll salvage your influence, because that's the best thing you can do for them that hear thee. Best thing you can do. I've said before, best thing that a husband can do for his wife is draw a circle in the morning, on an imaginary circle on the floor, step inside of it and say, God, fix the man in the circle. The best thing you can do for your wife. Best thing parents can do for their kids. Best thing people in leadership can do here at the church. Best thing any of us can do. If we want to salvage our testimony, salvage our influence, how many stories do you want? I don't have to tell the stories. You know them. People have gone off the rails doctrinally. And what's happened to their influence? What's happened to their testimony? It's shot. So if I want to salvage my testimony and I want to be an influence for Christ, I've got to put my mind to learning doctrine, to learn the teaching and instruction of the Word of God. And after I learn it, continue in it, put it into practice. You know what I get out of this? This is what I wrote number 10 on your sheet. What I get out of this, salvation is free, but becoming a follower of Christ costs. You know, we think because salvation is free, so is Christianity. Not true. Not true. It costs paying attention. It costs putting it into practice. It costs diligence and dedication and commitment and perseverance in the Christian life. And that should not frustrate us, because our salvation cost Jesus diligence and dedication and commitment and perseverance. Number 11, it is only decent. Our reasonable service to be willing to pay the price to follow Christ. And that means we have to learn doctrine and put it into practice. Turn our mind to it. Focus, concentrate, learn on it. So this is our responsibility to doctrine. 2 weeks ago was what happens when we turn our ears from hearing it. We go off the rails, okay? Here's our responsibility to it. We're supposed to pay attention to it. Give attendance to it. We're supposed to continue in doctrine. Then number 3, very interesting. Number 3 or number 12 on your sheet is, what's the third thing we do? We adorn doctrine. We adorn doctrine. Now flip over to the book of Titus, just a few pages to your right, okay? Go right past the book of 2 Timothy, go to the book of Titus, and look with me at verse number 9. Titus chapter 2 and verse number 9 here, okay? So Titus says, Paul is writing to Titus. Titus is on the island of Crete. He's setting things in order in the churches. He's putting pastors in place, young men, evidently probably called of God. Look at verse number 9. Exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters and to please them well in all things, not answering again. So he's talking about the relationship between employees and employers. Okay? And here's what he said in verse 10. Not purloining, but showing all good fidelity. And here's why. That they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. Now this to me kind of just sets me back a little bit. Okay, whoa, here, time out. Paul is talking, he's telling employees, be good to your employers, and in so doing, you're going to adorn the doctrine of God. Now, number 13, the word adorn means to decorate. It means to embellish with honor. Now, if I embellish a story and I add to it and so that it's not true, that's not honorable. That's wrong, right? Embellishing is nigh unto lying. It really is. But here, the word adorn means to decorate, to embellish with honor, to make as you make it bigger, it's an honorable thing. The easiest way to understand this is to think about what many of us are just about, you know, just a couple of days or a few weeks, depending on what you do in your celebration. We're going to adorn a Christmas tree. You know, the tree is pretty in and of itself, especially if it's a real tree. All right, you get those artificial ones, and they're okay. You know, I get it. We've had an artificial one. We've had both. Couldn't have a real tree for years because Abby had asthma, and she would start blowing and snorting and sniffing and end up in the hospital. That's not much fun at the emergency room. But the tree is pretty in and of itself, but after we put lights on it and after ornaments go on it and bows and popcorn strings, and we used to call them icicles, down south, I don't know what they're called. You know what I'm talking about? What are they called? Tinsel? Something, okay? The little silver things, okay? In fact, on our tree, we put this rope, but it's not called rope. What is it, sweetie? What's that? Yeah, that's what I thought, right. Raffia? Raffia, okay. So after you do whatever you do to your Christmas tree, you know, and you step back, and it's all dressed up, it's all decorated, and it's like, wow, it's all adorned. You dressed it up, you decorated it. Now, obviously, this is what blows my mind. The doctrine of God is pretty attractive in itself. Just learning about God. Especially to the believer, it's really attractive, to the Christian. But to the lost person, the doctrine of God may not be as pretty as it should be. It may not be as pretty as it is to the lost person. So you know what Paul tells us? And you can take this, you can take what he's telling employees here, and you can put it across the board in any circumstance in life. He tells us to dress up, to decorate, to adorn the doctrine of God. And we do that by our behavior. That's how we dress up God, the doctrine of God. To me, it's just mind-blowing. Number 14, the question is, are we adorning the doctrines of the Bible with our behavior? I'm going to say this. Hey, we don't dress up Christianity when we cuss like a lost person. We don't dress up Christianity when we complain like a lost person. We don't dress up Christianity when we're lazy on the job like a lost person. We don't dress up Christianity when we steal from our company like a lost person or gripe about our spouse like a lost person. All those things, folks, do nothing to dress up the doctrines of the Word of God. All right? Look at 1 Timothy chapter 6. Turn back a couple of pages. Here's Paul talks about what happens when we do not adorn the doctrines of the Word of God. Back up to chapter 6 in 1 Timothy. Look at number 1. Same subject, employees and employers. Let as many servants as are under the yoke employed count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and His doctrine be not blasphemed. So when we do not adorn the doctrine of God, we blaspheme His name. We blaspheme the doctrine, okay? Number 15, we can do damage to the doctrines of the Word of God by our behavior when it is not Christian. Yeah. Now, you know, I've used this illustration probably too much. I'm just about through. It's taken me forever to get through Spurgeon's book, teaching on lectures to my students again. It's maybe the second or third time I've read it. And it's really, you got to take your time. But I was just reading last night, and he said, don't use the same illustrations too often. I'm afraid sometimes we're guilty of that. I could start an illustration, and somebody could raise their hand and say, I could tell it for you, okay? But Art's here tonight, sits back there in the back row, and Art slips in, Art slips out, one of the quietest members in our church, got saved and baptized here. And after Art got saved and baptized, a family showed up at church one Sunday morning or evening, I forget, from Kankakee, and I went down to visit them. Had no idea how they showed up at church. And in the course of visiting with this man sitting in his living room area, I asked him, how'd you come to Faith Baptist Church? And he said, Art. I said, Art? I thought he was talking about drawing, paint. I said, Art? He said, yeah, Art. I said, Art what? Art? What are you talking about? He said, Art. You know Art. Art goes to your church. Sure, okay. And I hadn't gotten to know Art real well. He said, Art. And then it dawned on me. I said, oh, yeah, I know you don't. And I hope I don't embarrass Art, but this is true about many of us in this room. He said, man, before he started coming to your church, he was unpleasant and unkind. And I won't go into all the things he said. But he said, now he's driving his forklift, smiling and singing and talking about going to church. You know what that's called? That's called adorning the doctrine of God. All you teenagers, all you guys, ladies, all you ladies, teenagers, you adorn the doctrines of the Word of God by how you behave around your parents. How you treat your parents. That's what Paul told us to do. This doesn't work just only in the employee-employer realm. It works across the board. Dressing up the doctrine of soul winning would require us to be faithful to witness. Dressing up the doctrine of giving would require us to faithfully give and not complain about giving. Instead of complaining, be happy we get to give. Dressing up the doctrine of the marriage relationship would require us to love our wives, men, and reverence your husband, ladies. To talk pleasantly about them, to not complain and gripe. Dressing up the doctrine of prayer would require us to pray consistently. Look, this is just what God said to do. He said, adorn the doctrine, dress it up. Make it pretty, decorate it, okay? Number 14, where are we at? 16. There are doctrines that pertain to our position, and there are doctrines that pertain to our condition. That's two different things. So doctrine that pertains to position would be something, I'm just drawing from the hat here, would be something like, you know, our belief in the Godhead being three persons in one. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Not one, two, three. Not 1A, 1B, and 1C. God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit. These three are all one. One in power, one in glory, one in omniscience, one in everything. Okay, we believe that. That's our position. All right? You can make that true about other things about the Bible. Okay? Our doctrine that pertains to condition would be something like us, what Paul said in Ephesians 5:18, be filled with the Spirit. That's doctrine concerning our condition. Now watch this. Number 17, our condition adorns dresses up decorates our position. Don't you think if you and I went through as many days as we could, filled with, controlled by, led, directed by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit directed our tongue. The Holy Spirit directed our eyes, our ears, our actions, our behavior. All of it, Holy Spirit directed. Don't you think that would adorn, dress up our belief that the Holy Spirit is part of the Godhead? You see what I'm saying, folks? Okay. So we got position. We got doctrines about position. That's kind of our position, our position on what we believe. But then our condition is how we practice doctrine about that which we believe. Somebody that says they believe in hell, never passes out a gospel tract, doesn't really dress up the doctrine. Okay? You know, it's like our it's like the office of the President of the United States. It carries a certain doctrine. There's teaching and instruction that pertains to the position of the presidency. And that is Joe Biden's position. But his condition does not decorate or dress up the office, the doctrine of his position. He drags it down. He tarnishes it. I mean, the polling numbers are horrible. And his own party that voted for him is pathetic. And that's one thing you and I don't have much control over. We have a lot of control over how we dress up the doctrines of the Word of God. We believe, we say we believe, but by our practice, we either dress them up or we don't. Does that make sense to you all? All right, lastly, we're almost done. Look at number 18. He says, avoid false doctrine. Avoid false doctrine. 2 John chapter 2. Oh, there's only one chapter. Okay. So 2 John chapter 1. 2 John chapter 1. And these are the verses. And they're strong verses, and I'll be done. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, the doctrine of the deity of Christ, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. You don't tell those Jehovah's Witnesses, God bless you. You don't tell the Mormon, God bless you. Well, I just don't think that's Christian. Okay, let me get my knife and I'll just cut this verse out of the Bible. He that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker. Well, I don't know what to say to him. Good riddance. That works. I thought we were supposed to love everybody. Not somebody that comes to your doorstep preaching and teaching that Jesus is not God. Especially somebody who's trained in how to answer all your questions and deviate and turn and get you wondering about. And I don't see Jana tonight, but you remember Eleonora? The deaf lady in her 90s, and I used to get Janet to go with me, and Greg usually took Greg on Mondays. Greg's off on Mondays, so I get Greg, and we go down there and get Janet. And I needed to visit Eleonora, and Janet could interpret for us, you know, translate for us in sign language. And one time we went to see her, knocked on the door, and there's two women sitting there with open Bibles. And Eleonora told Janet, oh, could you come back later? And Janet said, sure. So I said, those are Jehovah's Witnesses, I'll promise you. I said, you need to call her. So Janet went to see her, and sure enough, they were Jehovah's Witnesses. And she told Eleonora what this verse said right here, and Eleonora never had those ladies back to her house. That's how you treat it. You see, it's only about 55 years after the ministry of Jesus on earth. 55 years ago, he died, buried, rose again. 40 days later, ascended to heaven. That's been going about 55 years. And false teachers were already abounding at the end of the first century. And it didn't take long for them to deny the deity of Christ. And John was clear about a follower of Christ's relationship with them. Don't even say, God bless you. I don't even say, have a good day. I hope you have a bad day. Now, we won't turn there. Hebrews 13:9 says, be not carried about with divers and strange doctrines. You know, the best way not to be carried away with doctrine that's not biblical? Avoid it. I've never been much for the studying of cults. Not when you've got a whole book of truth here. All right, number 19, the writer of Hebrews said, be not carried away. So that means we must have the potential to be what? Carried away. Well, that won't happen to me. Famous last words. Number 20, put a priority on true doctrine, not false. That's our responsibility as Jesus' church to doctrine. Give attention to it, continue in it, adorn it, and avoid false doctrine. Let's stand together, please. Thank you for coming out tonight. I appreciate it. And those of you that watched by way of the live stream, God bless you for watching. Unless you're a Jehovah's Witness, God don't bless you. Father in heaven, help us please to have the right spirit, attitude, and responsibility to doctrine. Help us to grab responsibility by the reins and do what we're supposed to do with the matter of doctrine. We'll thank you for it. We thank you for the teaching and the instruction of your word. It's so clear. Help us, Lord, to give attendance to it, to attention to it. Help us to continue in it, to put it into practice. Help us, Lord, to adorn it by our behavior and to avoid false doctrine. I pray in Christ's name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Just real quickly.